Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks for joining in to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That song you just listened to is off my album titled Favorites, and I would be glad to send that out to you if you would like a copy of the album. It's on CD format, and here are some of the songs on that album. I Want to Walk with the Lord, Who Am I, Watch What My God Can Do, Scars Are a Sign of Healing. Some 20 songs on that album, and all we ask is that you send a gift to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And you can send that gift to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And in that, this is a 5-weekend month, it would really be helpful if you'd take time to send us a letter and let us know you listen to the program and enclose a gift if the Lord lays it upon your heart to do that. It would mean so much. Well, I am beginning camp meeting services July 13 to 23 in Flovilla, Georgia, Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting, and then finish out the month of July, July 7 to August 6, Portage, Ohio, Portage Holiness Camp Meeting. And today on the program, I'm going to conclude the sermon that I began titled Casting the Shadow of the Spirit-Filled Life. Next week, we'll feature a sermon preached by my father at Hollow Rock Holiness Camp Meeting many, many years ago. And we'll feature that sermon next week as well as the last weekend of the month of July. So I hope that you will tune in Tell a friend about the radio program, and perhaps someone would be touched and even brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of the lights of spiritual guidance. That is our prayer, and that is our purpose. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the listening audience, and I pray that you would be with those who are listening today that might have a special need. Maybe they're hurting, and maybe they're suffering physically. I pray for those who I know have a physical need that need a divine touch, and I pray for them today, Father. Thank you for all who listen, for all who take a moment to share a letter and share the expense of the lights of spiritual guidance. I pray your blessing upon them as well. I ask all of this, pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget, you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Hope you'll consider doing it. God bless you for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today.
Yes, it's true, for each scar there's been suffering. For every scar there's a story of pain. But the life that's completely surrendered can somehow trust God through all things. Scars are a sign of healing, like the rainbow that follows the rain. That are open feel the most pain, but scars are a sign of healing. Many lives have been wrecked by wrong living, for sin somehow leaves its mark. But through God, it's a miracle of mercy when nothing is left but scars are a sign of healing, like the rainbow that follows the rain. Wounds that are open feel the most pain, scars are a sign of healing. Wounds that are open feel the most pain, but the scars are a sign of healing.
You cannot define the church in the 21st century in terms that leave out Pentecost. You can have the organization. You can have the facility. You can have the music. A godly, compassionate pastor and his wife. You can have all the ingredients, but without the power of the Holy Spirit operating. Wouldn't it be great? I was privileged to be a part of a church back in the decade of the 80s where they were ready for God to do anything He wanted without restriction. Amen. We had a demonstration, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit that lasted most of my tenure there. And I was there 8 years. And I had people that would come to church on Sunday and they'd say things to me like this. Hey, Lane, we were going to go on vacation, but we're afraid we'll miss something. We were going to go see Mom and Dad this weekend, but we don't want to miss anything. They would come in. I would come in. And I didn't want to mess it up. I didn't want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. And we would come in and say, well, we know He's going to be here. I just wonder how. I wonder what He's going to do today. How is He going to move upon us today? I remember one Sunday morning, we started our service with the announcements and then we had a song and then it was open altar time. We always had open altar. Ask anybody to come to the altar that felt in need. And I remember how the Shekinah, you probably never heard this word, maybe you have, Shekinah glory. It's not in the Bible, but the concept came out of the historic church. The Shekinah glory just kind of fell. I remember a young man, still, his name was Rick Henson. He stood up over there and he just began to talk. I was about to pray and he stood up and I just stopped. I thought, what's Rick going to do? And he just stood up. He'd been an alcoholic and God had touched him and delivered him from alcoholism. And he just stood there and he said, oh God, I need You today. I need You today. The Spirit of God fell on Rick Henson, and then it began to sweep out across that congregation. I saw one of my men, Jay Toomey. He was one of those quiet, silent types. He loved to play softball, and he was the custodian at the Nazarene University there in Nashville, and Jay would always sit on the back row with his wife, Elaine, and I remember Jay got up, and he started down the outside aisle. He came to the altar. He didn't just kneel at the altar. He laid face down, flat on the floor, and he began to praise God, and he said, He needs more than me just kneeling today. And he began to praise God, and God moved in that place, and it was an ongoing sense of the power and the presence of God. And I'm not talking about man-made, manipulated emotion. I'm talking about a genuine demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit where we say, God, You come any way You want to come. We're open to what You want to do in our midst. You see, we're going to cast a shadow, and it will be the shadow of spiritual empowerment, or just a nominal. Well, let's go to church and see what we have happened today. See what the preacher preaches today. Make sure we get out by 11 o'clock or 11:15. Or is it an expectant mindset that says, God, You can come any way You want to come, any way You want to move? We're open to that. You're going to cast a shadow corporately. Then there's the proof. The proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, we didn't read it. But it says that Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Interesting story in the church. There he found some disciples, verse 2. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. What baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. He told them to believe in the one coming after him, and that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. Amen. I want to piggyback in closing on what I said last night. There's no way to understand the work of the Holy Spirit apart from the word holy. Holy. It's no mere coincidence that the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. We've already established that fact. That was confirmed in Peter's Pentecost sermon. He said in verse 38 of chapter 2, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter reported back to the Jerusalem conference. At that particular time in the history of the church, they were nothing more or less than a side porch sect. They were known as people of the way or followers of the name. And so the elders there at the Jerusalem conference, they asked Peter, how do you know those Gentiles down there were filled with the Holy Spirit? And in essence, he said, I saw it. I saw their hearts purified by faith. Do you know what the litmus test of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? It's not what some people think it is. I grew up in the evangelical movement, been in ministry now almost 60 years. And for a long time, we heard people say that the evidentiary proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is some kind of unique gift. Not so. The gifts of the Spirit are not even mentioned in the New Testament until Paul comes on the scene. And he begins to describe the gifts of the Spirit and that it is the Holy Spirit who determines what gift any of us might receive at a given time. What he's talking about here is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Someone asked, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit in you, or is it you in the Holy Spirit? Yes. It's both. It's the proverbial sponge in the bucket of water. When you put the sponge in the bucket of water, is the sponge in the water, or does the water get in the sponge? Both. It's both. Peter is now filled with the Holy Spirit. He's no longer the one who denied Christ. He's no longer the vacillating Peter. Even after he'd seen Jesus alive on two different occasions, he went back to his fishing boat. John 21. And Jesus appeared to them alongside the sea or the lake of Galilee, and he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. But it was not until Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 that something changed in the life of Peter. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He didn't go back to the boats. He no longer denied knowing Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He was martyred. He proved he loved him. An empowered, pure, holy life is the evidentiary proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Have you ever asked Him for the Holy Spirit? And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know all that's going to mean for you when you do. You're going to cast a shadow. It will be the shadow of a nominal profession of faith, attending church. It will be the shadow of a good congregation, nice facility. We do some good things around the community. Or it will be the shadow of an empowered life that's making a difference in and outside the church. It will be a church that's empowered, open to anything God cares to do through the power of His Holy Spirit in your church. I was gathering material for this sermon in May of 2018. I have the luxury, Brad, of taking a long time to prepare a sermon. You have to get a new one up every week. So I'd been researching, I'd been listening, I'd been reading, compiling notes, ideas that brought about this sermon that I've shared with you this morning. Sitting on our porch, we've got a little cottage that was built in 1910 over on Cottage Avenue in Columbus, Indiana. We call it the cottage. We like to sit on the front porch. And this particular May morning, it was beautiful. Temperature was perfect for porch sitting. Gretchen was sitting in her chair. It's not a large porch. She was sitting about, 3, 4, 5 feet away from me. Over there, she was crocheting. She's a master crocheter. And she was crocheting. I had my phone on to a YouTube channel, and I was listening to a friend of mine preach a message on the Holy Spirit. Gathering data, getting ideas, information, thoughts. I finished listening to that sermon that day, and I turned it off. And I was just sitting there mulling over what I'd been listening to. Then Gretchen, she gave me permission to tell you this. Gretchen put her crochet work down. And she said, "Lane, I've never asked to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Would you come over here and pray with me?" We'd been married over 20 years at the time. I'd never seen her do one thing unbecoming to a Christian. Never heard her utter any word that would make you wonder about her relationship with Christ. I'd never seen her treat anybody unkindly. She was a model, as far as I was concerned, of what it meant to serve the Lord. My great helpmate. Always there, unselfish. I got up out of my chair and I walked over there to her chair and I knelt down beside her chair, and by this time I was weeping. I don't remember everything I prayed that morning, but I said, "Lord, would you give my wife the desire of her heart?" And when I finished praying, she smiled and looked at me and said, "Thank you." You'll have to talk to her if you want to know all that meant in her spirit. But I know one thing. She wanted everything. She wanted everything. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're going to cast a shadow. Father, I pray today that you would draw us close up to yourself. I pray that you would grip us with conviction. I pray, Father, that if we have never really come to that place to where we have prayed specifically, "Lord, fill me now, fill me now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, come and fill me now." May this be the morning. May this be the morning when people do that. What about you? Have you ever prayed the prayer? "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit now." If not, then why not now? Why not now? What would keep a person who professes to know the Lord from wanting everything that he has for them? Why not now?
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.